Hey, it's Ben and Kelly, dressed in a praying mantis body morph skin tight suit and ready to give you some missed connections on today's podcast.
That was a lot. Plus, in group therapy, we try to figure out if he's controlling or a big gentleman. And really, there are arguments on both sides.
What are the top guy cry movies?
We'll grab tissues for all of that. And a new song that is an instant fave, Elfifying Songs. Enjoy the podcast.
Ben and Kelly.
So you're a fan of pizza, I'm assuming, right?
I do enjoy pizza.
Yeah. Are you ready for a health hack when it comes to pizza?
A way to eat pizza healthier?
Yeah. Let me know if you think this sounds health smart or just a little ridiculous, okay? There's a health hack regarding pizza that's been floating around TikTok that supposedly is making pizza healthier, right? So, well, okay. I'm going to let her explain.
I learned this in college. Okay, so you take the pizza, flip it, and you drop it. Pick it up, flip it, drop it. Now all the grease is on top, and there's no more grease on your pizza. Is that weird? I don't think it's weird.
Okay, so if you caught that.
We're flipping it. And so while it's still in the grease is going away.
Yeah. So while it's still in the box, when it gets delivered, you flip it on its end.
Okay.
And drop it, and then that apparently takes all the grease that is settled on the top and shoots it to the lid, and then you flip it back over, and all the grease is stuck on the lid and absorbed into the lid, and there's no more grease on the top of your pizza.
Okay, toppings though, do you lose a lot of those doing
well,
that?
Well, I would assume you probably do, or at least they're a little discombobulated when you flip it back over. I will say that when I lived in Indiana, there was a pizza place, and I think there's a place that's there in southern Indiana, the Ballyhoo Pizza King. But where I lived, this was a notorious place to go after you closed down the bars, right? Actually, they would deliver it to the bar so you could continue to eat and have, fun and stuff like that. But part of the charm of this pizza was you opened up the box and you could see the grease just sitting on top of the pizza. And so what you do is you take some, napkins and you lay it on top of the pizza first and peel off the orange grease that was on top of the pizza and before you ingested it, right?
Uh-huh.
So had I known this hack, had TikTok been around then, maybe we would have tried the flip the pizza on its end, drop it, flip it back and see if that works. I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think of pizzas right now, like local pizzas where you can see kind of the grease, but the Pizza King there, that's one of them that came to mind. And I don't remember I haven't been there in a while, so I don't know if it still has that same charm or not.
I mean, when necessary, we've done the pat with napkins or paper towels or something to kind of, soak up some of the grease that's, less aggressive with the flipping.
Well, maybe the next time
the toppings intact,
you can try the flip and drop as a method.
The flip and drop. Okay.
As a method.
Instead of pat, the flip and drop.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. As a method to maybe make the pizza just a scotch healthier.
A scotch. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's not going to make it a ton healthier. Because
I was going to say, like, what percentage healthier are we talking?
Look, I'm not a nutritionist, but I'm thinking maybe it's 1%.
Oh, all right. Significant.
Well, you're just not eating all the grease that is settled on top. That's
okay.
That's the key there.
All right.
Yeah.
Wow. So many life hacks.
Yeah. So I don't know if, your family or does like a pizza Friday or something like that.
We don't do a ton of pizza, to be honest.
Then maybe
my daughter's not a fan, so that kind of ruins it for the rest of us.
Then maybe, well then give her the chicken wings and you guys eat the pizza.
She's not a fan of that either. So,
gosh. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah. T's and P's for you guys.
She eats broccoli though. That's good.
All right. Well, there you go.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, I don't know. There's a little hack that's been going around. TikTok, flip the pizza over, drop it on the floor, pick it back up.
On the lid, like the pizza box lid. No, we're not dropping pizza on the floor when you say that.
Well, it's still in the box.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, yes. It's still in the box. And so
when you say drop it on the floor, I just envision people just flipping the box over and it goes on the floor.
No.
Scraping it all up, and that's just even worse.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you would still be scraping it off, but inside the box where at least it didn't touch the dirty floor. So,
okay.
All right. So, are we grading this hack as a thumbs up or a thumbs down?
I think there's a large margin for error when it comes to this. Like, could be complete disaster in making a mess of the pizza. So I'm going to stick with my pat method when necessary.
Okay. All right. So Kelly sticks with pat, not the flip and drop.
Exactly.
All right. So in the world of sports, boxing, we all know the Tyson-Jake Paul boxing match went down, but we finally have some stats from the event. Apparently, it generated a record 18.1 million in gate revenue, highest grossing event held outside of Las Vegas. It took place there at AT&T Stadium in Dallas. 108 million people globally tried to watch it on Netflix, but now, because so many people, Netflix is facing a class action lawsuit from a guy who says the buffering issues during the Tyson-Jake Paul fight were legendary.
Oh, wow.
And is trying to get compensated for it.
Good luck, buddy. Good luck.
Yeah, Ronald. Ronald is all like, hey, his Netflix failure is a breach of contract.
Oh.
And he's seeking unspecified damages.
Okay. So is he out just like he feels like he's gypped from his Netflix subscription price?
Yeah, I think that's probably what it is. So,
okay.
I mean, if he's asking for anything more than $20.
Right.
I mean,
I kind of don't understand how he thinks he can quantify the damages
right.
he suffered.
Well, he is.
Because I couldn't watch my show.
No, it's like he's like a little kid. Like, I just wanted to watch it.
I wanted to watch the two men beat on each other.
And then it stopped and it paused and I had to wait.
It was just blurry and stuff and I couldn't see really well.
So now
I had snacks. I had friends over.
Ronald, it ruined my party.
Oh, good luck to him.
Yeah,
I hope he
luck,
gets
Ronald.
Millions.
Good luck. Good luck. A phone tap.
Louisville is getting pranked.
Oh my God, who set you off to this?
Here comes another Ben Davis phone tap on 99.7 DJX.
All right, Melissa said, hey, Ben and Kelly, my younger sister, Bobby, recently got a job at a hospital working in the records room. Mm-hmm. Pretty boring work, if you ask me. So mm-hmm. I thought you could hit her up with one of your phone taps.
Mm-hmm.
Here's her direct line. I'm sure you guys will dream up something great.
Okay. Well, William Hassenpepper is not a real person, but he has an issue with something he just found out after his father's passing.
Oh, boy.
Needs to call Bobby at the hospital to clear some things up. Welcome to your phone tap.
Records room. This is Bobby.
Hi, Bobby. It's William Hassenpepper. I'm hoping you can help me with something.
What seems to be the problem?
Okay, well, it's kind of difficult for me to talk about, but I was actually born in your hospital. I need to find the charts or whatever from when I was a newborn.
Okay, I'm really not sure exactly what you mean. I mean, your primary care doctor should have all of the cumulative records.
Well, here's the thing. I'm pretty sure he's in on it, and I'm pretty sure it all starts with him, too.
Okay, you kind of lost me, though. I'm still not sure what you're talking about.
Well, Bobby, thank you for understanding, but it was kind of painful to talk about, but I just found out recently that I was circumcised.
You recently discovered this?
Yes, and it was done against my will.
Okay, well, usually your parents decide, so perhaps you should take this up with them.
Well, both of them are dead, Bobby. Thank you for reminding me. And as my father was on his deathbed.
Oh, my God.
He whispered something to me, and I think it makes a lot of sense to me now.
Okay, I'm not really sure again, but...
Well, he said, son, I'm sorry that I let them... And then he passed on.
Oh, my gosh!
But I'm pretty sure he was referencing my penis.
Well, I'm sorry about your loss, sir. Truly, I am. I'm unsure what this might have to do with me.
Well, maybe as a woman, you can't quite understand the pain that I'm going through, but this is a very serious issue to me.
Oh, no, sir, please. I mean, I can see that this is bothering you.
Listen, your hospital neutered me. They conned my father into signing a piece of paper, and for what?
No.
Make an extra buck? I was their firstborn, and they had no idea what they were doing.
Okay.
Oh, no. I mean, I can assure you that has nothing to do with it. I mean, did they have any more sons after you?
Well, yes, they did.
Okay, and were they circumcised as well?
Well, yes, all three of my brothers were circumcised, but I don't see where you're going with this. I've gone through my entire life with a soldier missing his battle helmet. And, I mean, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about.
Honestly, I don't. But if your younger brothers are all circumcised, then it's obviously it was the will of your parents. They make those decisions. I assure you, they're the ones who elected this procedure. And let me also just tell you that circumcision, it's very common. It's actually way more common than not getting circumcised.
Hmm. You know what? You sound like you're in on it.
In on what?
You know.
No.
Okay, well, maybe you're not in on it, but your sister Melissa definitely is in on it.
Oh, Melissa. Oh, my God, she's such a rat. Who is this? Who am I talking to?
Bobby, hey, it's Ben Davis calling from 99.7 DJX. And your sister set you up for a phone tap.
Oh, my God. I was trying so hard not to laugh. I've never had a call like this in my life. Oh, my God, I can't believe this. Oh, you guys are good. You are good.
No, you are good. The professionalism was off the charts. Clearly, he was a little confused about the meaning of that
I just found out.
What? Like, he thinks he's neutered? Bless his heart. Bless his heart.
Oh, shoot.
But,
all right.
I also think he's kind of confused. You have a helmet, if right? You're not missing the helmet. Right. Wait.
Kelly, do you not know how it works?
I do know how it works, but I know it's...
Do we need to draw a diagram?
You have a helmet. It's the turtleneck that you're missing, right?
But the turtleneck comes up over the helmet. Do we need to... Here, let me draw a diagram for you, Kelly.
No, I know what it looks like. And to me, that looks like a helmet. Like you have a turtleneck if you don't, and you have the helmet if you do, right? Am I crazy? Am I the only one that understood that?
But it covers... Okay.
The shape, though.
It covers!
It's like a hat.
Oh, my gosh. What are we arguing about right now? What are we arguing about?
You brought us into this!
All right. Anyways, that's your phone tap. I'm the one here who took a half a semester of pre-med, Kelly.
Hon, I feel like you didn't pay attention.
All right, it's 99.7 DJX.
What does this iconic song have to do with our setting the bar story?
Jack and Rose, are we going to debate again whether he could fit on the door?
No.
Oh,
all right.
Goodness.
So, by the way, this was actually in the news last week, but there is a little fun detail that is making this even more so a setting the bar story, which is what, Kelly?
It's an example of what not to do or a situation we hope doesn't happen to you.
Right. So if you can manage to make it through the day without playing My Heart Will Go On when you're on a cruise ship that's experiencing trouble on the open sea, you're doing okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So okay. I don't know if you remember seeing video of this Royal Caribbean cruise that was experiencing some crazy wind in the open sea. It was right off the Canary Islands last week. About 5 days into the cruise, It left the cruise ship tilted to one side thousands of people on board. A passenger felt like it was a 45-degree angle. It lasted like 3 minutes. The captain, however, said, wow, it was more like 14 degrees. But still, that's a lot for a huge ship. And so the video you probably saw were like tables and chairs sliding. There was broken glass everywhere. There was a video where like a big screen display slides across the floor, hits a guy, then crashes into a table. You can see people like struggling to walk and all that stuff. Here's why it's in the news again, is because there was a guy on board talking about what was playing in the background.
We were in the theater and they were playing a Celine Dion song from Titanic.
Oh, no. Horrific.
No, not the time. Read the room.
You know what? Even if things are going well on a cruise ship, that's not a song I want to hear.
And we actually thought it was part of a special effects. The ship started to tip to one side, all the bottles and all the glasses fell off the bar. And we're wow, this is amazing. And then we realized, look at the crew's faces, this isn't special effects.
No, this isn't special effects.
Oh, wow, look at the crew's faces. They look legitimately scared. Do we need to be scared? Are we going down?
Yeah, it's not the time when the ship starts to tilt and you hear this, you're like, wait a minute.
No. I would say on a cruise ship, is never a place you should hear that song.
You should never.
I don't care if it's a nice dinner or whatever. We're not playing that on a cruise ship. We are not. And just let's add this to the 1,000 reasons why I just don't do cruises.
Yeah, thankfully the ship was fine and it wound up righting itself after the wind died down, but it had to return to port.
Nope. That's a nope for me, sir.
Yeah.
That's a nope for me. Could you imagine? I would have started screaming.
There might have been people who were doing that. I mean, because, you know.
Especially when you see the crew looking scared. You're like, oh, crap. Oh, no.
Yeah, I mean, that's the same thing when you're on an airplane and you experience turbulence. If the cabin crew are, like, chill and they're like, all right, we're good. You know,
you're fine. Yeah. Yes, you base your emotions off their emotions.
Yes. So if you're on a cruise ship and it starts to tilt and you hear Titanic theme songs start to play and you look at the crew and
I'm running
faces.
For a life jacket. I'm scoping out the lifeboats.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, no. I'm gonna go ahead and just ask, hey, let's just ban that particular song from any cruise ship playlist. Okay, just for as a best practice.
Yeah. So there you go. That is your setting the bar story.
Oh wow.
So if you can manage to make it through the day without playing My Heart Will Go On when you're on a cruise ship that's experiencing trouble on the open sea, you're doing okay.
People think that you're going to go the same path as the Titanic.
Right. You go.
It didn't end well.
I go. All right. That's your setting the bar story. In life, there are those encounters with someone that, you know, you think maybe there's a spark, but for some reason you don't get a name or number.
So what else do you do? You need to connect. This could be your soulmate. You do a little typey-type. You send it off to the internet. We find it and bring it to life.
When you strike out in real life, you can always try
Craigslist Missed Connections.
All right, this is Man for Woman. You gave me butterflies. The insect kind.
Oh, literally. Okay.
As opposed to the other kind.
Right, the stomach butterflies.
Okay. I was hovering over the mesmerizing display of beetles at the insect convention when you crawled in. Actually, you were walking, LOL.
Oh, insect humor. I like it.
You were so beautiful. Your outfit reminded me of a voluptuous Japanese silk moth.
Wait a second. A moth can be voluptuous? Okay.
Upon a second glance, maybe you could have been dressed as the supervillain from the 2009 film Infestation.
What is that? I've not heard of that one.
I wasn't sure. I don't know. I didn't see the movie either. So.
But people wear costumes to an insect convention?
There were a lot of costumes there that day. So maybe you didn't know who I was.
Who are you dressed as?
I was the guy dressed in the praying mantis body morph skin tight suit.
Oh, wow.
Holding up a sign that said insect pride.
Oh, my gosh.
At one point, I walked by and handed you a note.
Oh.
I'm not sure if you threw it away or accidentally lost it, but in case you didn't read it, it said, I wouldn't mind spending 10 to 28 days molting in a cocoon with you. Wow, what a line.
That's kind of a good line for where we're at.
I was going to say, know your audience, right?
That's exactly. I feel like that could play.
That was the most romantic thing I could think of at the moment.
It was good.
I wish I would have asked you out, but I'm far too shy.
Sounds like it when you're wearing a skin-tight body morph suit.
Now I feel like a little boy in a field holding a jar of fireflies, yearning for the warm luminescence of your presence.
Wow. This guy's a poet.
Would you like to get together sometime and touch antennas?
Okay, now I'm out. I can't. I can't with the touching antennas. Okay.
Wow.
He had me at cocoon. Lost me at antennas. Yeah.
Oh, no. That brief love affair was right there. Huh. It's Craigslist.
Well, this is a woman from Ann to the hot guy I gave a skull to. Need to dive into this one, right?
Sure. Okay.
Just want you to know I wasn't a crazy lady. Here's what happened.
Okay.
A guy was running for a train.
Uh-huh.
I saw something go flying off the end of his cane. Yeah. Yes, he was running with a cane.
Okay. Fashion after, over function.
After a few seconds of me and other waiting passengers looking around stupidly at each other, I decided to be a good Samaritan.
Uh-huh.
I picked it up and saw that it was a small, polished replica of a human skull.
Okay.
Didn't want it, but I have such a particular hatred of littering that I didn't want to drop it back on the floor lest someone think I was a dirty skull litterer.
Dirty skull litterer.
I decided the proper thing to do would be to give it back to whomever dropped the thing.
Okay.
So I jumped in the door of the train, saw you with what I thought was a cane, so I said, here's your skull, and handed it to you.
Okay.
You were shocked, I thought, because you didn't realize it was lost.
Right.
But as I backed off the train, as the doors closed, I saw that it wasn't a cane you had, but an umbrella.
Oh.
And luggage.
Oh.
And you clearly weren't the person who dropped the skull.
Oh, no. She just handed some random stranger his skull.
Now, I can't imagine how weird it must have been to have some woman run onto a train, shove a skull in your hand, and tell you it's yours.
Here you go.
So I'm just writing this to let you know that it wasn't a voodoo ritual.
Uh-huh.
Or an ominous mafia warning.
An ominous
mafia warning.
Uh-huh.
Or a gang initiation.
Oh, wow.
I truly thought you dropped your skull, but you were kind of hot. So if you want to meet up for coffee, you can tell me what you did with it because I'm kind of dying to know.
Wow.
So she's assuming you kept the skull.
What? I mean, would you? Would you immediately throw it away? I wouldn't.
I would probably just leave it on the train. In the seat.
You dirty skull litterer!
To become an urban legend.
All right.
Someone else would find it and be writing another story of I found a skull on a train.
So whether you want to get together and touch antennas with someone you saw, or you're looking for the guy that you handed a skull to.
It's an odd way to meet someone.
Right. It's only Craigslist missed connection. Spending Kelly, good morning, 99.7 DJX. All right, we get to a feel-good story. Do this every hour throughout the morning, Kelly K.
So this is a love story you will not believe, but I feel like this could end up happening for your family, being that you have twin daughters.
I do, yeah.
So identical twin sisters, Brianna and Brittany from Delaware, first laid eyes on identical twin brothers, Josh and Jeremy from Tennessee. They immediately thought they were handsome.
Mm-hmm.
They happened to meet at the Twins Day Festival in Twinsburg, Ohio.
Yeah, kind of a little festival they do every year right around beginning of August.
So Brianna said, Jeremy and I were really attracted to each other and started gravitating towards each other. And Brittany and Josh started.
Oh, wow.
So it was like perfectly kind of paired off. So perfect, they got engaged together 6 months later. They got married.
Mm-hmm.
And they all live together.
There you go.
Plus, they're each raising a 3-year-old son that are biologically similar enough to be brothers.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
And they wouldn't dream of having it any other way.
So. If I'm going to go, jump on the trampoline or, I'll go tell Brittany. And it would be weird if I went and did it by myself and didn't tell her.
Would you think that would be strange if Brianna randomly decided to go and jump on a trampoline.
Without telling me?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I'll usually say something like, so we have 2 3-year-olds at our house. Mm. So we don't have to go in the whole thing, but we definitely feel like we beat the system.
We beat the
system.
We
each got 2. We only had to, you know, carry 1 child each, but we each have 2. But yes, we definitely all 4 raise both.
What a story.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Yep. GMA kind of did a profile on them. And the reporter that did the story is a twin.
Look at that.
I know. Just kind of amazing. But they are especially unusual because they're mirror identical twins.
Mm-hmm.
So they look exactly the same. They have the same DNA. But being mirror twins means that, like, their hair part is on the opposite side.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff like that. So there's just a few, they're like exactly the same, but then kind of mirror opposites of when it comes to little things like that. It's just incredible.
Very cool.
That they found each other. They fell in love. It just all perfectly laid out, and they are going to live their lives out together the whole way. I mean, they even get their hair cut together.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
You got a life partner there.
Oh, why not? See the story at WDJX.com.
When you need advice, come to Ben and Kelly. It's group therapy on 99.7 DJX.
There she is. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Ben and Kelly.
Hi.
How are you?
We're good. Hey, thanks for allowing us to give you a call here. Go ahead and walk us through what you sent us.
So I realize this is going to probably sound sort of weird, but I have this question for you and maybe possibly some of your listeners if they have some advice for me.
Okay.
So I started dating this guy. We're going to call him Dylan. Okay?
Dylan. Got it.
Sounds hot.
Dylan. It was about 2 months ago, and we've been on, I think, like 7 dates.
Yeah,
and
but who's counting? Time,
right.
Well, I'm
trying to figure it out just for perspective. But
sure.
So so all these dates, he still hasn't let me pay for anything.
Okay.
And I know, like, this is probably one of those things that seems like it shouldn't be an issue.
Uh-huh.
But I would also, I don't know, like to actually treat him to something, you know? But he just won't, like, he won't let me. He won't even, like, let me talk to him about it.
Interesting.
And I mentioned to him that, like, getting paid for all the time is starting to make me feel a little uncomfortable, you know?
Okay.
And he just keeps insisting anyway, which that's like the weird thing. It's like you think, like, if I said to you, this makes me feel weird, you'd say, oh, well, let's not make you feel weird. Why don't you pay?
Okay, yeah, I get that. I get that, sure.
You know, and like, you know, I get that this is early into a relationship, like 2 months is not a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But I was talking to one of my friends about this, and I don't know, like, she was saying that maybe this was an early sign of someone who's being controlling.
Oh.
Yeah.
I did not get that kind of vibe just from what you've said.
Okay.
I'm just thinking, what a sweet guy. Like, maybe he has been raised to, while you're still early in the relationship, like, he's supposed to be a gentleman. And maybe once, like, down the road, you're in a pretty established relationship, maybe he'll relax and go Dutch more often. But now he feels like he needs to be the provider. If that makes sense. I don't know. This didn't raise a neon red flag in my mind.
But then, Sarah, you got to keep in mind, Kelly's love language is showering her in gifts.
Absolutely.
So,
I'd be like,
so,
yes.
So she,
I would ride that gravy train as long as I could.
So maybe.
Toot, toot, get on board.
Right. So maybe your love language, and I don't know if you've done that whole, like, figured out what your love language is, Sarah.
Right.
But maybe yours is like, kind of providing and giving gifts, you know? I don't know. And so
right.
if his is also giving gifts, then, you know, I can see where that's maybe a little bit of a tango and a dance that you guys
said,
are going to
I don't
do.
Know if 7 dates in we're talking about, hey, what's your love language? This is mine.
Are you kidding me, Kelly? I know people who are like talking about that on the first date.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. I stand corrected.
All right. What part of the issue, Sarah, and tell me if I'm reading this correctly, is that you said it makes you feel uncomfortable.
You told him that, and he's still,
and
like,
he's
not
like,
listening.
No. And he's kind of, like, brushing you away. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think that's even more of the issue, maybe, is, like, here I'm telling you this thing, and, like, you don't, I don't know, either you don't believe me, or it doesn't matter, even more than, like, let's say, I mean, obviously, I don't know him that well.
Right.
He has a lot of money. And so, like, just to him, it's, you know, nothing. Why didn't dine me and take me out and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah. Well, maybe that's part of his motivation,
too.
That's
part of the deal. Yeah. I don't know. After my friend said that, then I started to think, like, okay, what if, like, this is a situation where, like, I am kind of in a way being controlled, mm-hmm. and I don't even realize it, you know, and let's pretend that we're dating 2 years from now, and then all of a sudden it's like I have no life of my own, and I don't know, I'm just alone.
Yeah, and he's not letting you make decisions I get it.
I get it. And I'll tell you, Sarah, I have heard this sentence more than I care to say, but you're hearing me, but you're not listening. And I'm guilty of that too. So sometimes, you know, being just as direct and being like, all right, I'm going to take you out. Where do you want to go? You know, type of thing, showing that you've got a little bit of a plan. Maybe you can try that. But we do have, like you said in the beginning, our listeners are already starting to text in.
And the peanut gallery has opinions.
Yes, exactly. So we'll try to, like, give you a little roadmap and make your worries seem less
or validate your feelings.
Yeah, exactly. And
give you spidey senses.
Yeah, give you some direction. So Sarah, hang out and we'll try to help you. Okay,
thanks so much.
Yeah, and keep us posted if you would. Let us know what ends up happening. And I don't want to project too much on you or put too much pressure, but if you guys wind up getting married, I have a Michael Graves toaster that's sitting in the trunk of my car that I would love to give you.
I would love to take that.
Okay, thank you.
Like, I don't even know what a Michael Graves is.
I've only been talking about it for 10 years. All right, Sarah, thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, so already in the comments, Dr. Aaron, he can take me to dinner. Can I bring my kids? And then Elizabeth is dump his butt. So you've got both ends of the spectrum here.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll navigate this. This is what group therapy is about, all right? So if you've got a story about maybe why this could be controlling or why it's a green flag, let us know. 502-795-1997 is our number. Group therapy, we just got off the phone with Sarah, who is in a new relationship, and her boyfriend insists on paying for everything. While that may seem great, one of her friends is like, even after she said, doing that all the time makes me feel uncomfortable, one of her friends is like, yeah, that could be a warning sign that he's going to be controlling later on. Better watch out. Now it's got her freaked out.
Lisa says, okay, I think I got the gist of what she's saying. I don't think that he has yet shown he's controlling. I dated a narcissist who loved to pay for dinners and other things.
Right.
So if we ever got into an argument, he could list all the things he's done for me.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
I feel like he's not doing that. He's likely just being a gentleman at this point. Wait until he gives you a reason to doubt his intentions.
Mm.
Ashley says, my husband paid for me a lot in the beginning of dating. He never wanted me to bring my wallet with me. I thought it was strange at first. Later on, I ended up paying for some of our dates, so it kind of worked out. We do everything 50-50, like we split bills now, so I hope this helps.
Yeah, and I'll tell you that there are comments on Facebook that are kind of more divided of, he's not really respecting what you're saying and wanting, because she did say it made her feel uncomfortable. Natasha says, I'm not getting on the bandwagon to say he's being a real man, dating as a two-way street. Perhaps the other suggestion of asking him out, maybe pre-plan and pay before you go out on the date, could work, or perhaps look for other ways he likes to be appreciated. Kind of going back to the, what's his love language? Stephanie kind of agrees too and says, hey, the biggest concern I would have is that you told him it makes you uncomfortable and he's not relenting on paying.
Yeah, a lot of people are zeroing in on that piece of it. Like, have you asked him why he won't allow you to pay?
Yeah, to our knowledge, she's just said it makes her feel uncomfortable. That's it. Now, Brittany says maybe next time when you go to dinner, you can slip off and pay the bill at the end of the meal by pretending to go to the restroom. His reaction to you paying would be the deciding factor for me.
Ooh, that could be a good litmus test. Like, if he loses his mind over that.
Yeah, and then you see kind of that
might give you an indication of, okay, this is more of a red flag.
Right. I do like that, because there was, whenever I go to dinner or we get dinner with my wife's parents, my in-laws, there's always that weird dance at the end of the night. It's only weird because I would like to pay and treat them, but my father-in-law insists on paying every time, which,
like, he's a dad.
Yeah, and I get that. That's great. So it's always that kind of dance where I'll go for the check, and then he will hand the server his card or the cash or whatever first.
And you're like, oh, okay.
I'll get you next
time. See, we kind of lay that out at the beginning. Like, we walk in, I'm like, we got this. We tell my parents. And my dad's usually like, okay.
We did suggest that to her, where it's like a, hey, I want to treat you, let's go.
Where are we
type
going?
Of thing.
Yes.
So
and I see what he does.
I like the idea of that, and I also like the idea that Brittany said, where you slip off and pay the bill by yourself.
Now, and Angela's just like, girl, keep him. That's a green flag. She must be young. Us 40-somethings have learned.
All right, well, hey, if you're going to comment and say, get a real problem, we don't need you, all right? So,
right.
Yes, group therapy is about actually trying to figure stuff out for people. So
yes, but I think a lot of us are saying, okay, this by itself at this point may not necessarily be a giant indicator of something bad about his character, but maybe there's a good way to test it to see if it could be an indication of that.
All right. Good luck. Sarah, keep us posted. That is group therapy. Let's play a fun little game. It's a new, brand new game. Okay.
Great. These always go amazing.
Shut. Don't say it. Since we're in the holiday season, thought we would do a fun game where we elfify songs. Now, let's say hi to Kristen calling us from Oklahoma. Hi, Kristen.
Hey, guys.
Hey. Quick stats on Kristen. She's got blonde hair, drives an Explorer, is an administrative assistant, and has been married 20 years.
Wow. Look at that.
Yes. Kristen's going to be in our test kitchen for this game. So, Kristen, literally the results of this are on your shoulders.
No pressure.
Great. No pressure.
So, you've obviously listened to 99.7 DJX before.
Every morning.
Sure. Thank you. You're the one. You have heard the songs that we play. Then, these are going to be songs that you've heard hundreds of times, just not this way. So, we have hired a team of elves to recreate these popular songs.
Look at that.
You just tell us the song and win. Okay.
Super easy.
Yeah,
super easy. You got this.
Yeah. We'll give you a few of them. We'll give you a few. All right. Here we go. Here's your first one.
It's so precious. Somehow less aggressive, right?
Maybe.
Okay.
Jack Harlow.
Yes. Jack Harlow, Loving on Me.
I think he should bring in the elves when he performs with the orchestra.
Just adorable. That's adorable. All right, here we go. You're doing well. Next one, elfified songs. Tell us which this is. Yes, it's Dua Lipa.
I'm living for rapping elves.
I know.
I'm living for it.
It's the rapping that got me.
Like, I feel like we should just flip the format during the holidays and just play elf versions of all the songs.
Rapping. I've never heard the baby like this.
If Santa hasn't yet considered it, he needs to install a recording studio at the North Pole and start releasing some fire albums.
Kristen, you are doing fantastic, okay? All right, we'll do one more, okay? Elfifying these songs, last one.
Sabrina Carpenter.
Yep, yeah. She knows. Sweet, precious, Sabrina Carpenter.
And the only thing that I now wish that I had done is actually played the album versions and not the radio edit versions and just bleeped them out, because it would have been funnier to hear the censor beep on these little cute elves.
These precious little voices.
These precious little voices.
Yeah, Justin's asking on the text line, are elves and chipmunks the same thing? Well, they sound similar when they're singing and performing, sure.
Yeah, well, hey, listen, we're not... okay, whatever. Kristen, congratulations. Test kitchen, thumbs up or thumbs down? Do you think it was okay?
Oh, it's great.
Yes, great.
All right, fantastic. You're a winner.
And I'm going to need some Elf albums coming out of the North Pole, because that's fire.
For sure. All right, well, hey, congratulations. Thanks so much for hanging out with the show this morning. I'm going to put you on hold another quick sec. We're going to get a little bit more information from you, okay?
All right, great. Thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
Oh, super fun. Way to go.
All right.
That's just, it's precious. Adorable.
I mean, maybe I find some fun songs and do it again tomorrow.
And bleep them? Album versions only.
Album versions only. Elfified songs on 99.7 DJX. Kelly K.
So the Cleveland Clinic facilitated this meeting between Sandy and the little one-year-old boy named Sonny, whom she donated part of her liver. And now he's doing great.
How are you? I just feel called to do this. I asked other people to do this, and I want to help someone else.
Here I am.
Your liver.
You're
He's so cute. He's absolutely adorable. So Sandy said that she felt a calling to do this after her husband had received a liver transplant in 2022. So she understands how vital, you know, organ donation can be. And Sonny's mom said, Sandy gave a piece of herself to save my baby's life.
Organ donation,
truly an unconditional gift.
That's pretty cool.
And Sonny's been recovering very well. He's actually caught up on all of his growth and development. So it's a pretty fantastic emotional meeting. You see Sandy like round the corner and it's instant tears when she locks eyes with the mom.
Aww.
And then she sees little Sonny and just, he is so precious.
Love
it. The way they interact, really cute. You can see it at WDJX.com.
99.7 DJX. Good morning. Ben Davis, Kelly K Show. Pop, shop, drop it. Three cities, three VIP experiences. And Gladys Gates, you're a winner.
Oh, my God. You're kidding me.
Not kidding at all, Gladys.
Oh, my God. I don't believe this. This is unbelievable. I just won a freaking trip.
You won three trips.
Yeah.
Three trips.
Yes.
First one to a concert of my choice. Second one to California shopping. Third one to Cabo.
Yes.
Cabo.
Gladys Gates, you're a winner. Congratulations.
God, I never win anything.
Now you do.
Never anymore.
Yeah, you can't say never anymore. That's for sure. So congratulations, Gladys. You are, in fact, a winner, and we're so happy. One of the fun things, Kelly, that we learned. Is we learned what it sounded like the first time Gladys saw a man naked.
Oh, my God, you're kidding me.
And we also learned where it happened.
Cabo.
Oh, Gladys, we're just joking.
Understood the assignment, though. She understood the assignment.
All right, congratulations. All right, hey, coming up next, it is, you know, those movies that we all love that, you know, get in our feels, get emotional, right? But, you know, for some, I mean, and I'm looking at, you know, a lot of times stereotypically it's guys that are just like,
are you looking in the mirror?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, that's not sad.
That's not sad. No, actually, you guys end up getting emotional at different kinds of movies than maybe the women do.
All right. So these, we're going to go run down the guy cry movies. All right. Top guy cry movies coming up next on 99.7 DJX. This came across my feed. The top guy cry movies. And I thought I would run down some of the top 10. I mean, I'll just list a couple of these real quick. The Iron Giant, number 10. Frequency, number 9. 1999's The Green Mile with Tom Hanks. Shawshank Redemption coming in at number 7.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then this is the one that you always make fun of me for.
Mm-hmm.
Number 6, Braveheart.
The prisoner wishes to say a word.
Don't say it.
Freedom!
I mean, you can't help but your eyes start to well up a little bit.
Same for my husband.
Yes,
same.
I'm telling you.
That right there.
Those are facts right there. Those are facts.
Yeah.
Number 5 on the list, Good Will Hunting.
It's not your fault.
Me, all right, Sean, not you.
It's not your fault.
Oh, man.
When he finally Robin breaks Williams. Down, the breakdown yes. breaks through.
Such a good movie. I can't help but well up every single time.
Yes.
I hear that. Number four is Click.
I don't
now,
know that one.
Now, that's with Adam Sandler. Click is kind of the... It's the Adam Sandler version of Groundhog Day with Bill Murray.
Okay.
Where he kind of relives the same moment over and over again.
Oh, he has a remote control? Yeah.
Yeah, and he over... He learns that his dad passed away.
Where was I? You crying?
What happened?
Nothing. You know, he just got old.
Yeah, you know, I didn't really cry with that one. But I will say the top three, two of them got me.
Two of them?
Two of them.
Okay, what's number three?
Number three, all right.
Oh, my
It's Matthew
God.
McConaughey in Interstellar. And this, it's something about him and a daughter. And if you don't know the movie, this is where he's seeing his grown-up daughter on a video screen.
Hey, Dad. Today's my birthday. And it's a special one because you once told me that when you came back, we might be the same age.
Yeah, because
and
he's
today
an...
I'm the age you were when you left. So it would be a real good time for you to come back.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
That gives
my son actually just watched that movie. He's in a space zone, so he's watching, like, space-oriented movies.
I'm telling you, Interstellar gets me every time.
Yes.
And it's that scene when he, you know, he's in outer space. He's not.
The father and daughters. He's Mr. Life.
It is. It's father daughters. That's what it is.
Yes.
So that got me. Number two is Armageddon on the list of top guy cry movies. And now this is Ben Affleck and Bruce Willis.
When Bruce Willis goes instead of him.
Yes, he shoves him back on the ship. Bruce Willis shoves Ben Affleck back on the ship.
Yep.
And is like, hey, you're always a son to me. I'm the one that's going to be on this asteroid.
My job! You go take care of my little girl now. That's your job. Always thought of you as a son. You take care of yourself. I love you.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God, I'm crying. Ben Affleck is so good in that scene. Okay.
Yeah. I'm telling you.
Oh, I forgot about that. I know that.
Top guy cry movies. The number one is from Fast and Furious.
What?
It's Furious 7. It's the one where they said goodbye to Paul Walker's character after his death in real life. And it's the scene when Vin Diesel pulls up and he's just having a moment by himself, and then Paul Walker pulls up right next to him.
Hey, thought you could leave without saying goodbye.
I used to say I lived my life a quarter mile at a time. And I think that's why we were brothers.
Now, I'm going to say, now this list isn't complete because I will throw some others out there where the original Top Gun, when Goose dies, I mean, that was one that...
Yes, many people are rolling in on the text line with that. What about Man Named Otto? For sure. That's a good one.
I've never
Sandlot.
Field of Dreams is pretty good. I'm going to put an honorable mention. And this may seem out of left field, but my honorable mention, top guy cry movies, tell me if I'm wrong, How to Train Your Dragon.
What particular scene?
Hiccup!
When Hiccup kills Stoic accidentally.
Oh,
and the emotions sorry, spoiler alert. Stoic jumps in front of his son right as... Hiccup accidentally, he was out of his mind.
When he's like, bad Hiccup.
Yes, it wasn't his fault. It wasn't his fault.
Dad.
Stoic.
Yes.
Stoic. Yeah, Tony from St. Matthew's like, what are you doing to us this morning?
Listen, listen, I will say, oh, yes, and Chase does roll in, and they're coming out with the live action and the trailer for the live action. Oh. Hiccup looks almost exactly identical to how he does in the cartoon.
Oh, my but the gosh. Live,
and that movie just takes me back. Oh, my gosh. So,
well,
yeah,
Gary says, remember the Titans? For sure.
Yeah, that's another that's another good guy cry movie. So, like, if you want to see your guy, if he's not typically like an emotional type, put him in front of one of these movies. I know, and a lot of people are questioning the whole click and the Adam Sandler click, which I've never cried in an Adam Sandler movie. So I've never seen that one.
That one I've never seen. So again, I can't judge.
Again, it's kind of the poor man's version of Groundhog Day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, whoa. Ray's got a good one. Avengers Endgame.
Yeah, never seen it. Never seen any of the Iron Man movies, so I don't know. None of them. None of them.
What?
So,
what are you telling me right now?
Never seen any of those. Never seen any of those.
You know, and again, spoiler alert, Avengers Endgame, you know, the part where we have to say goodbye to one of the very important Avenger.
Yeah, Natalie said,
I was bawling. I was bawling.
Natalie said, do you guys cry during the Green Mile? Because I sure did. Yes, that's on the list.
That was on the list. Yeah.
That was number 8 on the list. And I would say, man, that's when I forget his name, but he was the big guy. And it's when he is walking the Green Mile. And if you don't know what the Green Mile is, that's like that is walking to the execution chamber, right?
Yes.
And that's what they call it.
The glistening of the eye. I mean,
I know. He's pure. He's pure.
Those are some good ones. Those are some good ones.
I'm going to need to recover with some snacks.
Top guy cry movies. But man, it's that one from Interstate. As soon as I was kind of putting this together, I was sitting there watching and in my feels watching Interstellar, and I'm just sitting there going,
you forgot all those moments. You forgot, didn't you? You did.
By the way,
Trish sending you some shade. How in the world have you not seen all those Marvel movies, Man Card, Revoked?
Yeah,
yes,
whatever.
No, we knew that about Ben.
Yeah, whatever.
We did.
All right. It's time for a stupid fact of the day.
Do some learning.
Yeah, this is where we just find fascinating things because, you know, we are always in a quest to find and foster education and knowledge here on this show.
Uh-huh.
So when we find these things out, we want to pass them along.
Of course we do.
Now this, I actually have to thank Nat Geo, National Geographic, their Instagram.
Oh, great. I mean, this is legit.
Yeah, so have you ever wondered how a reindeer finds its mate?
How a reindeer finds its mate.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll bite. I've never wondered about it, but I am right now.
Okay, great. Thank you, Kelly. Good thing Nat Geo came through in the clutch.
By urinating on himself, the young bull spreads a scent that the females find intoxicating.
Yes!
He's peeing on himself, and the ladies are going to come running.
I'm telling you, there's video of this, too. We'll share at Ben and Kelly Show on IG.
Oh, great.
I mean, literally Nat Geo just hits us out the gate with a...
By urinating on himself.
Great! It's like, hey, fun fact. You know how this happens? He pees on himself, and it works. Yay, the ladies love it.
Yes, they don't have access to cologne like you or me. That's what they do.
You're right. And if they did,
completely covered,
you know what it would smell like.
He makes his move.
That's right, he does. Yeah. Completely covered, he makes his move.
Tasting the air, he can detect if a female is in season.
Oh, is in season, maybe.
Can taste it in the air?
Yeah. So he's licking, like, the pheromones out of the air, and he's all loaded up with his own scent, and he's on the prowl, Kelly. On the prowl.
Oh, I'm so glad I'm not this animal.
Now he's got more interest.
Yeah, he does. Now he's found a lady that he'd like to maybe share some special time with.
Okay.
One female simply can't resist the aroma.
Yes!
Oh, wow. Is this like the Bachelor Reindeer Edition?
Oh, shoot.
They head to a more secluded spot.
Okay. And then the magic happens.
Yeah, but honestly, it would have never happened if not for...
By urinating on himself.
Right. Okay, great. See? And we get to watch on Instagram that happen?
Yeah.
All right. Are you posting it now?
Yeah, I should probably do that.
For learning purposes.
Listen, it's fascinating. And
is it fascinating to watch an animal pee on itself?
Well, it's fat. Yes, Kelly.
Is it?
What?
Oh my gosh! It's like a sprinkler. Oh, it looks like he's almost washing his hair in it. Oh my gosh! Oh wow!
So yeah, that's.
So aggressive. That's way more aggressive than I thought it was going to be. He's already like covered in mud too.
Kelly,
he looks real dirty.
Listen,
and then he's like, his tongue is like, he's licking the air.
That is on our story right now at Ben and Kelly Show, just posted.
I didn't need to see any of it.
But I'm just saying that's how the pheromones get up. That's how he spreads his scent.
It's like he took a roll in mud first, and then let's top it off with peeing on myself, and come hither, ladies, and they're coming a-running. This is a bizarre design for this part of nature.
Listen.
It is.
Listen. Okay. One of my favorite comments is from Jessie. She says, ladies, we just need to do better. So there you go. Your stupid fact of the day. If you've ever wondered how elk or reindeer find their mate.
Oh, don't watch it. You really don't need to watch it.
You know now that they.
By urinating on himself.
Yeah.
There's another comment. What kind of cologne are you wearing? That's my own eau de toilette.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. So you can see the video. I mean, it hits you right in the face.
Instructions unclear. She filed a restraining order and I'm covered in pee.
At Ben and Kelly Show on Instagram. 99.7 DJX. Good morning, Ben Davis, Kelly K Show. I feel like the animals on a plane thing kind of hit its peak with that movie Snakes on a Plane. Am I wrong in that?
Okay. That's a really big example of where that's the main component of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Anyways, this is Setting the Bar story, Kelly, which is...
an example of what not to do or a situation we hope you don't find yourself in.
Look, when transporting animals on a plane, you should probably make sure they're safe and secure.
That would be the very first thing you take care of.
Right. So if you manage to make it through the day without letting over 100 hamsters escape on a plane, you're doing okay.
Oh.
This happened on an Air Portugal plane. It had to be grounded for 4 days. Four days? Yes.
Well, yeah, because there's lots of places for those little critters to get into.
Yeah, 132.
And how in the world are you ever my gosh.
132 of them. They were en route to a pet store, and you're thinking to yourself, well, why do they have 132 hamsters? Well, yes, they were transporting them to a pet store when they escaped in the cargo hold. Cargo hold, yes, like they're not just up in the cabin area, but like down below in the cargo, like there's thousands of places for them to go.
Oh man, and how in the world, well, I guess you do have a number that you started off with, and then you'll know if there are some that are still missing.
You gotta count them. Gotta count them, yeah. So the plane was grounded literally for 4 days.
It took that long to find them all.
It did. They all, the plane was searched and then finally cleared to fly again just on Sunday. But yeah, it's like, who's the guy who left the latch open on the hamster cage, right?
Seriously. I mean, that reminds me, I did have a hamster, and actually we had a couple of hamsters and a gerbil named Fred. Oh. And I want to say before the science fair one morning, I picked Fred up by his little tail, and then he like jumped away and he was missing for quite some time. Like it took 45 minutes to find him again.
Oh.
Yeah. They can get away lickety split.
Yeah. And I know, I want to say I had one of my cousins had like a hamster that went missing. Like, you know, she took it out of its cage and was playing with it, but then it scurried away and it went missing, and literally it was just gone. The family was
They never found it again?
Well, they found it after it had passed away, but they had found it like behind some big furniture or something like that. And I know.
That's the worst.
I know. So anyways, yeah, this is a setting the bar story. Let's not be the guy that was in charge of securing the hamsters, all right?
Let's keep track of our rodents.
Yes. On 99.7 DJX. It's Ben and Kelly on 99.7 DJX. Last hour, we were talking about the guy cry movies, the movies that make guys cry. And there were so many additions to the list. Now, listen, this list was not crafted and curated by me.
And obviously they didn't get any of us to chime in with it. Well, we've got a lot of different additions. Like Larry said, Star Wars Episode 7 when Kylo Ren kills Han Solo. Yes.
By the way,
sure.
If you haven't seen any of these movies, we're dropping a lot of spoilers on you because
sorry, spoiler alert.
Some of these movies, the emotional part is the spoiler of the movie, right?
Now Kelly from Crescent Hill says, my husband just said Rambo and I don't know why.
Wow. You know what? Honestly, I was maybe 10 years old when I saw Rambo.
Yeah.
And
my husband's all remember. About John J. Rambo. He's like, don't you even talk about John J. Rambo. Like,
oh, see, right. I don't know. See,
I don't know either.
I'm kind of with Kelly from Crescent Hill going, yeah, shrug.
Yeah. Not sure on that one. But, there's a lot of them. How about The Guardian? Is that the one with,
The Guardian?
Ashton Kutcher and Kevin Costner about like, I think
that's a guy cry movie.
Apparently, I'd have to go back and watch it.
Okay, so the top three: Interstellar, which yes,
yeah,
Armageddon, which yes,
and
Furious 7. And you're thinking Fast and Furious? No, this is the one that Paul Walker passed away.
That he died in the middle of filming.
Yeah.
And then.
So I don't know if it's like emotion because it's been a long time since I've seen that movie, and I can't remember if I actually cried on that or not. But I can't remember if it's the emotion of knowing that the actor Paul Walker actually died.
Oh, I think that movie adds to it.
Yeah,
100% adds to it. I think knowing that real backstory and that, you know, he was really saying goodbye.
Yeah,
that was just. Oh, Ashley says, my husband bawled his eyes out when we were watching Southpaw.
Southpaw.
Southpaw. That sounds like
Southpaw or South Park.
Southpaw. I think it's like a sports movie.
Oh, it's at the boxing movie?
Yes,
Jake
boxing
Gyllenhaal?
Movie. Jake Gyllenhaal, 2015.
Yeah. All right. That's good. Yeah, with Rachel McAdams. Yeah, for sure. All right. Good list there. It's 99.7 DJX. Like I said, it's not a perfect list. Everybody's got their moments.
But grab tissues for all of them.
I know. Good stuff. It's 99.7 DJX. It's Ben and Kelly. Good morning. 99.7 DJX. All right. So, yeah, a lot of people also chiming in on our stupid fact of the day here this morning, where we learned how reindeer attract themselves to one another.
Don't watch it.
No, definitely
don't. Don't watch the video. Don't watch it. Don't watch it.
But Tina from Shelbyville chimes in on text and says, billy goats pee on their beards.
That's great.
My cousin had one that followed us around like a big dog, and he stunk so bad.
Oh, OMG.
Yeah, so the fun fact, the stupid fact of the day is that, yeah, the reindeer pees on himself and uses it as a scent to attract a lady.
But listen, what you should do is go into the comments.
The comments are fantastic.
The comments are pretty great.
Like, I tried this at Denny's, didn't work. All right. Like, a reindeer can do it, and it's fine. I do it, and I get kicked out of Target.
Exactly. Oh, it's so good.
So anyways, yeah, you can see that at Ben and Kelly Show on Instagram. Anything else, you can always catch up on the podcast, WDJX.com, tap listen. Hey, if you're headed to the Justin Timberlake concert tonight, DJX is going to be out on the patio, BT Dubs. And then if you're still jonesing for some tickets and you don't have any, you can try your luck because we're going to have a member of our street team over in number 15, which is right there next to the Yum Center. Like between 6 and 7, and you could maybe even win tickets there. So, like I said, all is not lost. All right, what else, Kelly?
I think that's it. We got Wet Nose Wednesday around 12:30-ish today on DJX Facebook. So if you're looking to add to the family member, a little furry family member, I'll give you a little hint. The name is Pudge.
Pudge. By the way, the picture is fantastic.
It's fantastic. So this could be the perfect fit for you. So you can meet Pudge around 12:30 today.
All right, guys. Have a good one. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, bye.